not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
Suitcases. I'm George Dunn. How's it going?
That was pretty good, actually. We need a metal music intro every time. With suitcases, George.
I'm afraid suitcases is gonna like already becoming like our enjoy your burrito, and I don't want that.
Well, you reap what you sow, George.
That was the winner, so I have to go with it. It was definitely the one I wasn't gonna choose. I absolutely was going to make that one regardless.
I hoped it didn't win last week, although I knew that it 100% would win.
With all five people who voted.
Very hotly contested.
Apparently. But yeah, I'm George Dunn.
I'm Devin Newsom.
There we go.
Oh, were you going to say suitcases again? My bad.
Suitcases again. My bad.
I'm going to say briefcases. That's my thing.
What's the combination lock? What is it? What's the combination number on your suitcase?
No, it's just cases to hold my boxer briefs. Okay. They're unlocked for anyone
just
to steal.
They're just baggies.
Yeah.
Plastic baggies.
Yeah. Just plastic bags full of my dirty underwear.
Sandwich bags.
That's what I do with my time, and that's how I like to organize my things, is sandwich bags. It works very well for me.
You bring everything over in sandwich bags, even your beer. It's a sandwich bag full of beer.
Yeah, not even a bottle or a can, just poured into the bag and zip.
Yeah, you don't even pour it out. Like, you just like cut it the corner and just like drain it into your stomach.
It's like
right down your throat.
It's like a wedding cake decorator.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going for. That's what we do at work.
I don't know. I knew this kid back in middle school who, like, I made fun of him at the time, but probably either he was poor or his parents were really just frugal.
You can make fun of him for being poor.
Yeah.
I got made fun of him for being poor.
You're right. I'm in a higher class, so I can make fun of him.
That's true.
Barely. I don't know. I might not be, actually.
Did you ever get food from the church?
No.
We did.
Unless Kingdom Hall counts. Of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Kingdom Hall? Oh, yeah, you're a Jehovah's Witness, so I guess you can't be poor and be a Jehovah's Witness, are you? It's not, like, allowed, right?
No, because we have to donate money.
That's true. Can't really be poor and in a cult. Yeah.
But no, this kid would, in his lunches, he would, eat and drink. His drink would be a Ziploc bag full of Kool-Aid that he would open up a little bit and stick a straw into.
What?
Yeah, like... So every time he would stop drinking in between bites of his food, he would have to like Ziploc seal it back up. So
because you can't really just set that down.
Yeah, no, you can't set it down. Like, you have to keep opening and ziplocking and sealing and popping open. But then, like, that's not even the craziest part. His food, which now that I remember what he ate, I'm remembering that he probably was poor.
It's a block of government cheese.
It was a block of hardened, dried ramen, uncooked noodles.
Did you guys have a microwave at school?
I think so, but
or did he just eat raw ramen?
Sneak up on you, but
like a devil's
I have to
rescue.
Jump in for the story. Have you considered he wasn't poor and his parents just hated him?
I have not considered that. And
or maybe he's Sean.
Knowing
Clark
this kid, probably that's the one.
Okay.
That's the one. He was such a nerd.
Because at some point, it's cheaper just to get a reusable plastic cup than sandwich bags.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't think his parents liked him.
He doesn't sound like someone I would like either.
Just like, here, try drinking out of this.
Do you think his parents usually gave him, like, he also had a bottle of water that his parents gave him every day to microwave the ramen, but his parents also gave him Kool-Aid powder every day, and he always decided to use the water for the Kool-Aid.
Maybe. Make a choice, son.
Can we call this
a real Sophie's choice?
I want to know what's going on with his life now.
I don't know. I think he was also part of a cult. I think he was a Mormon.
Did you just go to a cult school?
No, that's what, I don't think so.
That has multiple
cults. If I did, nobody told me.
I think we're just getting Devin's awakening today.
But maybe that's what they were doing. Maybe they were trying to get him to awaken
his... Monster High, but it's just it's like all the monsters together, but it's all the cults.
They were trying to encourage him to awaken himself, his own powers, which would be to microwave ramen noodles.
Hey, man,
I've
been
he never
there.
Realized his powers.
I'm like there most of my life, except I have a stove. We'll see, though. I don't know how long that's going to last.
That's cryptic.
It's falling apart. My landlord doesn't do much for the house.
Yeah.
Well, that voice that scared me was this comedian that just snuck into my house. Most comedians don't come into my house anymore, so this is a sort of honor. it's Logan Rishon.
Hey, guys. Just sneaking on in here.
Hey, Logan. Sorry about that. Excuse me.
It's okay. I'm probably going to burp a lot throughout this podcast.
It happens.
So
it's a point of honor for us.
Okay,
mouth
good.
Sounds. Mouth sounds.
It's like when, I don't know, is it French people that spit in your face? Isn't there like a culture that spits in your face? It's an honor.
That's
or is
racist,
that just a
George.
Movie? I've
that's
seen.
Rich people.
That's right. I forgot. Because they love poor people.
Yeah.
Especially that nerdy kid who's eating all that dry ramen.
I really think we should just get the nerdy kid in on this podcast.
I'm into it. If you can get
we
his
can
number.
Just FaceTime him, bring him up.
Get his digs, dude.
I don't have his number, or I don't know if he's on social media. I think he like moved to Utah or something.
See, I think he'd be like, my second shot is you guys should all be drinking Kool-Aid out of bags.
You can give me a second shot. No.
Maybe it's
you
really
can give
good.
Kool-Aid a second shot out of a bag.
It could be really good. What about when you get to the end of the bag and it just sucks up into the straw?
Like, yeah, the bag just weird? Gets in the straw, yeah.
You'd just be like... Start like clog it. You can
like,
get
it's like
all
a
the
snake
juice.
Eating its own tail. You start chugging the bag. He doesn't stop. It just keeps going.
He's just choking on the bag by the end of lunch.
What if it's Jell-O? What if it's just like liquid Jell-O? Not actually Kool-Aid, but it's just gelatin mix.
I mean, that's kind of what Kool-Aid is. Can't you like?
Not really.
I mean, no, it doesn't have gelatin in it.
It kind of yeah, messes the key ingredient of gelatin.
But if you slosh it up in your mouth after you make it, it turns into Kool-Aid. And you spit it into a pitcher until it fills up.
Yeah.
That is how mom
he's
made
got
it.
Spittoon, he's got spittoon
just Kool-Aid. Like a bird baking Kool-Aid out of Jell-O.
Oh,
my God. I would do that. I have some gelatin mix. Let's try it. We'll watch Mallrats with some wet gelatin powder.
It's a bunch of sloshing around. That's too much work for Kool-Aid.
Well, Logan... Why am I so bad at transitions? Did you call me Greg?
Because no, Greg. There was a pop.
Oh.
I might have said Craig.
How are you? How are you on this wonderful afternoon?
I'm
evening,
fantastic.
Thing, whatever this is.
A little bit tired. Worked all day.
Same.
Didn't right do there. Anything at work, but like was there, present, awake. So
yeah,
really killed me.
It works the worst, right?
Work sucks.
Don't it's, get me started yeah, on the work.
Yeah. I've got to say, since I've started this new career in finance, it's really killing me. I sat at the bank today and spent 20 minutes doodling over the Dow Jones to make it look like a dinosaur. And I got 3 emails from superiors telling me I've been doing great work and to keep it up. Like, you guys have no idea.
I wish, man. You got any openings? I'll take a job.
Yeah, sure. Are you good at counting money? Have you ever had to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I worked as a manager at a movie theater, my dude.
Oh,
my
lots
God.
Of
wow,
you might be big overqualified.
So we're going to be talking about Mallrats. Specifically Mallrats, but I guess we're just going to kind of go
anybody,
over
yeah,
Kevin
probably
Smith.
Mostly just
real
Kevin
quick.
Smith in general.
Did anybody ever work at the mall?
No. I worked at Crocker Park, so I guess...
Was your theater in the mall?
Well, it's Crocker Park, so it's an open-air mall, so I guess that kind of counts,
it's close.
But sort of.
Yeah. It's got that same vibe. You have other stores near you that you're probably interacting with.
Yeah. I mean, you do too.
Yeah. So. I work in that same mall, that same outside mall. I worked in a plaza,
which is similar to a mall.
It's like
but much smaller.
It's like a straight mall.
But is an Aubrey Plaza a mall then?
Ooh.
Because I did just see Ingrid Goes West, and I didn't see any malls in that movie.
Do you think, well, the thing that would qualify it is if there are rats native to the plaza. Are there plaza rats? Does that exist?
Do lice count?
We had old people that live near the plaza and couldn't drive anymore, so they just hung out in the plaza. Like, they would go to like half-price books throughout the day and do the reading there, and then they would get like an iced tea from McDonald's and then kind of wander around the plaza doing like laps trying to find cigarettes on the ground. It was their daily routine, so I feel like it's similar.
I work next to your old work. I know exactly those people.
Yeah.
I know them very well.
Are they their family, George?
It's my dad. It's mostly just my dad. Those guys. It's a whole new conversation we don't need to get into.
Some of them worked in the plaza, too, so their entire life was there. Like, all of their food choices were just what was in the plaza.
Back
so
when it
was
they had
like
a
McDonald's
pizza.
And CC's, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that kind of thing where, like, everybody knows you because you work, like, near there and you, like, shove their garbage into your face every day. Mm-hmm. Like the guy at Dave's Cosmic Subs. He knows me very well.
Yeah, it's true. You're right across
the teenagers at Chipotle.
I do love Dave's, though. It's garbage, but it's good. It's good garbage.
It is really good. I love Dave's.
I like their meatball sub a lot.
It is a good meatball sub.
There's just too many sub places anymore.
Yeah, but none of them are good. Like, I mean...
Subs are on the way
out. There's so many that are good. Jersey Mike's, DeBella's.
Yeah,
DeBella's.
We're doing sub plugs.
I don't know if I've ever had Jersey Mike's, but... I'm next to a subway, so I can't really like. I mean, that's
we're all
like,
next
there's
to
a Penn,
subway.
There's a Penn Station too, but Penn
I don't like
good.
Penn Station.
But I don't, it's not a sub, is it? It's like a sandwich, open face sandwich.
I mean, that's kind of
what's the definition of a sub?
Similar.
Yeah,
I feel like it's almost the same.
I feel like a submarine is different than an open face sandwich.
I don't think so. I think it depends.
I feel
on,
it's usually cold cuts.
I decide if it's a sub based on the amount
a
of
meatball
jelly meats.
Sub's not cold cuts.
It's true. I don't know. Yeah. Listeners, call in and tell us what a submarine is versus
a meatball sub doesn't count.
What's a hoagie then? What's the difference between a hoagie and a sub?
What's a grinder?
Exactly.
I hardly know her. It says that on my grinder.
And that's the end of the episode. It was good. Thanks, Logan. Thanks for plugging all those things. I almost played. I was trying to get the outro song. I fucked it up. But yeah, we're going to be talking about Kevin Smith. I am not looking forward to this. I just worked 12 hours and now I got to watch a Kevin Smith movie. I'm not happy.
You weren't even supposed to be there today.
I was. No. I just wasn't supposed to be there that long.
Good one.
Thanks.
See, I'm excited for this. I haven't seen a Kevin Smith movie in a couple of years, but I like grew up loving Kevin Smith.
Same.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
I had
too.
A little video iPod like mm-hmm. in the beginning of high school, and Mallrats was one of the movies I kept on there and would watch over and over.
I have Clerks 2 still on DVD in my room somewhere, just
that's
because
great.
I can't. I have separation anxiety with my DVDs, but we'll get into it.
I actually have the same thing. Like I almost died when I had to sell them off after I got my DUI. but
need that $5.
Kevin Smith, fucking Clerks 1, Clerks 2, Dogma, Mallrats.
You're putting Clerks 2 in all this?
I mean, it's down there, but Jay and Silent Bob Strike.
I really like Clerks too.
I like
it's underrated.
Too.
Well, I mean, we can get into it, but like I used to love him.
What happened that drove a wedge between you two?
Honestly, I think it's his persona now and his output now.
His persona now is great.
I mean, I'm not big on like podcasters either.
I fucking hate them.
Annoying.
The worst.
Yeah.
Self-righteous.
Oh, like who wants to listen to their
self-indulgent.
Bullshit? Yeah, like
telling the same story over and over again. I get it.
Yeah.
9/11. It's a reference to my own joke, I'm tired of hearing about 9/11.
You're joking about, you think 9/11's a joke,
George? No, what is 9/11?
It's that, you know, that band 311.
Yeah.
There's five more of them.
Oh, hell. That sounds like the worst thing ever to happen in history.
That's 811.
No, that's 316. Austin 316. Drink a beer. Whoop some ass.
Okay.
Anyway,
let's go watch this movie before I like lose my mind. And go.
Hey, loser, are you sleeping on a comfortable mattress? How can you call yourself a real man? When you're sleeping, you shouldn't be comfortable. It should just serve the bare minimum purpose. That's why Falsco has put out the new Man's Mattress. made with only the finest quality cinder blocks, straw, and pig entrails. It's definitely the right mattress for any type of movie star or action hero. Don't believe me? Ask one of our satisfied customers.
Well, I mean, it's not really that comfortable.
Shut up, pussy! Buy now and receive a free quart of drinkable motor oil. You don't think your wife will like it? Divorce her. Is your family complaining because they don't like it? Kill them. Plan on having a guest over and you want them to be comfortable, but they're complaining that they don't like the man's mattress? Sacrifice their soul to Satan. And now it's time for some subliminal messaging. Pick up your new man's mattress from Falsco today. It's only the price of your eternal soul and manhood. Available now for only $6,000.
I mean, that was the best part of the movie. I mean, like, it's it's during the credits.
No, that movie was an experience.
Okay. I'll get my reservations aside. So Logan, why do you like this movie? Why did you pick this of all the Kevin Smith movies?
I felt like it was the most Kevin Smithy and like the most hated of the View Askew Universe movies.
You think this is the most hated?
Yeah, I think so.
Isn't Jersey Girl part of the View Askew Universe?
Jersey Girl.
I never really counted Jersey Girl, but I can see that too. And, yeah.
Oh, Askew Universe. I was about to mention like Tusk and stuff.
Devin,
but that's
definitely
not
didn't do illegal
yeah,
drugs.
I wanted to pick
this.
One that was like within those like 90s movies, something between Clerks and like Clerks 2.
Yeah.
Why didn't you pick Clerks?
Because I think people like Clerks is so different from the other movies because it's just so low budget. It's kind of like mumblecore. Like it's good. I really like Clerks, but I don't think there'd be like as much to discuss because people have like a pretty strong opinion on Clerks.
I don't know. I think there's a lot to discuss about Clerks. Clerks is the only one I like. Like I think there's a lot to say about Clerks. Like I think there's a lot of interesting things happening in that movie. But like,
Clerks is the only one you like. That surprises.
I'm okay with Dogma.
Dogma is amazing.
I think Dogma has its Dogma. Moments. I don't think it's very funny, but I think what it's doing is interesting.
Yeah.
So good. Unlike this, I'd like the problem with this one is like it's a comedy. I mean, it's not trying like striving
yeah, it's
to be anything.
Very basic studio comedy.
Like I mean, like you look at like what Kevin Smith was doing. So this is a follow up to Clerks,
right?
And Clerks was the appeal of Clerks. Well, the face level appeal of Clerks is how new it was, you know, in 1994 or whatever it was. And how like, oh my God, these guys are just talking about nothing. That's why Seinfeld and Pulp Fiction and all these things like that was like the thing in the 90s. That was the indie thing to do. And you know, and half of its appeal was like how low budget and just kind of raw it felt. I mean, there's other really good aspects of that movie. But with this one, it's just like okay, so you kind of take the surface level things that people liked. So they're talking like normal people, sort of normal people, like heightened, like casual
style.
They
all talk like a version of Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Like a real person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no real aim to the conversation other than just having a conversation. It's not the conversations aren't there to forward a plot thread.
Kind of.
I guess. I mean, in this one, they are.
Yeah,
but
there's
one
character who's always trying to further the plot thread, and then another who's just talking to talk.
Yeah, and that, like
that's most of the movie.
Jason Lee's character is a lot of that. Just like, hey, here's something about Wolverine. Here's something about Star Wars. Here's something
about,
you know,
like quips or weird monologues.
Yeah.
And then TS is kind of just trying to be like, dude, we got a story to get to. It's not a very detailed story, but we got to get back to this.
I mean, like Clerks is the same thing, though. Like you have your Randall and your, what's his name again? The other
Dante.
guy?
Dante.
Dante. you know, they have, it's the same dynamic.
Yeah.
It's just, I think Randall is a more like interesting and tolerable character.
I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, Kevin Smith is really good at writing buddy movies.
Yeah.
That's why Cop Out was amazing. Mallrats, that's, everybody loved
Mallrats,
Cop Out.
All Mallrats is Clerks with more money, and they decided to make it.
I guess.
Obviously, with more money, it's going to be more of a studio
I think that's why
type
I didn't
movie.
Like it. Well, I mean, there's like a sadness to Clerks that just doesn't really happen here. Like, there's something like, I don't, yeah. It's not nihilism.
Oh, I felt like there was a
like,
deep sadness watching this, like,
it's
not
a
as
girl,
a teenager
There's
now.
A girl who died in a pool. That's pretty sad.
In the opening.
But like, I mean, like with Clerks, it's like, what am I doing with my life? Like, they're like, you have Dante like sitting there like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Like, even if he's not like sitting there like, where am I going? He's just like, what the fuck? Like, everybody else is just like, I don't know, I'm just gonna go hang out at the mall and like,
well, that's why I think this one's sadder, because in Clerks they're really questioning what they're doing, and in Mallrats they seem really cool with it.
I mean,
like, there's no question. They're like, I am 25. I hang out with this 15-year-old who bangs adults, mm-hmm. and I live at the mall pretty much, and nothing's wrong with that.
And I mean, it's sad, but I think like there's nothing interesting about people not questioning themselves.
Oh yeah, no, I get that. Like, I'm just saying it's a much sadder movie.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, these people are the worst. But I mean, like no, there's no character I liked particularly in this movie. Like, I mean, I'm literally trying to go through. Like, I liked what's her name, the blonde hair,
Joey Lauren Adams.
Yeah,
character.
I liked her just because like she's just like, yeah, this is who I am. Who fucking cares? Like
yeah, all the small characters I thought were like fun. Like Willem is a good like recurring gag.
Which one's Willem?
He's the one who's just trying to see the like picture.
Oh,
his elbow.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah, he's okay.
And I like Michael Rooker in anything.
Yeah, Michael Rooker's
so
the fucking
him
best.
Is great.
Rooker. Yeah, I mean, like, it just made me want to watch Slither. But, like, I mean...
Right, yeah.
I love Muse. He is what he is. I love watching him.
I get it. Like, he's, yeah.
I didn't expect that I was going to like Jay and Silent Bob rewatching it. I thought that was going to be the weak point of the movie. And it was certainly not the weak point of the movie. And I like them.
I wouldn't say it's a weak point, but I think it was just kind of on par with the rest of the movie.
I mean, they did Batman.
They did too bad.
One of the best interpretations of Batman in the 90s.
I'm just trying to make you mad, George.
It's okay.
What is happening? So we like okay, for people listening, like we while watching this movie, we got into a very heated argument. I got into a very take two. I got into a very heated argument, basically just yelling at Logan that he said Batman Forever is better than Batman Returns.
Well, one of those movies has Batman in it, so it kind of wins based on
all
that.
All of them have Batman in it.
Batman doesn't show up in Batman Returns for like 40 minutes.
So you don't like Spider-Man 2?
It's okay.
What the fuck is happening? What is happening?
Jack Nicholson.
That's not the same movie. What are you talking about? It's a different movie. Jack Danny Nicholson. DeVito.
Jared Leto.
What? Are we still free association?
Okay. Jared Leto. Is that how this podcast works? Throw out things?
I mean, you're not that far off. Suitcases.
George.
I like that you guys have inside jokes. It's really fun for the guest.
Yeah. They're going to pick up on them eventually.
It's cool because early on you're like, hey, do you want to do our podcast? And I have to be like, yeah, I'm a big fan. I really like it. And then you do these inside jokes and I don't laugh. And you're like, oh, he actually hasn't seen it. Listen to it.
You haven't seen our podcast?
I've tried to peek through the window sometimes, but you guys have had blinds up for most of the winter.
Yeah, we do try to keep it. It's mostly for privacy.
I still have my Halloween decorations up. What are you talking about? Okay, I don't know where to go.
We're talking about nothing. It's the spirit of Mallrats. Spirit of Mallrats,
which is weird. Okay, so Devin, let's get into your like thoughts of, I guess, Kevin Smith in general, and then condense it into Mallrats if you can.
Kevin Smith in general, I've always I got into him because of Jordan, and
no surprise there.
Yeah. We watched Mallrats, and I was very young, and I enjoyed it. I think he had a copy of the movie that was secretive.
Mm.
His parents didn't know about it.
Yeah.
But we watched it and loved it, and then ever since that, like, I saw Mallrats before Clerks. Like, when I finally saw Clerks, I was like, holy shit, like, this is, like, really fucking cool. And I got into like his podcasts and stuff through Jordan, and throughout the years just watched like all of his movies. Dogma, growing up as a religious person, blew me away.
Dogma is a big one when you're like, you know, 15 or 16.
Yeah, and like whoa, when I saw it, it was in the process of like me stopping like practicing being Jehovah's Witness, and so it like really resonated with me, and I always like connected with Kevin on that way, I think intellectually, and I think that's why I'm a fan, and I'll listen to like his podcasts all the time. He tells the same stories all
the
time.
How many does he have now?
He has Hollywood Babylon, Smodcast with Roddy.
Didn't he do a Frasier one, or was that his co-host?
Because
I do like Frasier. I would listen to a Frasier podcast.
But he has Fat Man on Batman. Like,
does he still do Jay and Silent Bob Get Old?
Sometimes. Okay. I don't think that one pops up as often, but...
Yeah, he has a lot. He records every conversation he
has. I mean, like, hey, if you can... He has made... Like, he can make his living off just podcasting at this point. That's good
he
for
does.
Him, man.
Yeah,
like,
he most of it. Yeah, he tours, like, all those podcasts and does them live. And, I mean, it's kind of the reason, like, I got into podcasting.
Really?
It's because I am. Yeah.
That's what I started think, with. Yeah, like, I started with Smodcast and some of Kevin Smith's stuff and then moved to, like, WTF and Comedy Bang Bang.
Huh, that's weird. I came to it, like, pretty late in the game.
Yeah, there was a time where it was just Kevin Smith. Like Kevin Smith, some NPR podcast, and then Joe Rogan. And then
really?
Those were your
Joe
options.
Rogan.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan's a...
Back in my day, we had three podcasts.
Then like Mark Maron came along and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I listened to some random British podcast. I can't even remember what it was called.
It's just the BBC.
Say what?
It's just the BBC.
It's just the BBC. I was not an early adapter, but it was like... But like I listened to Smodcasts a little bit. Like I was really trying, and I just found him to be like, because I think it was right around the time he was like getting into pot.
Okay.
Because I guess he got into it late.
Yeah.
Right.
And it seemed too much like a 15-year-old kid who just like found out God isn't real and he just starts smoking pot and just like okay, stop. You doesn't need to be everything.
Why
like,
should any one person be denied such joy? I mean,
he can do whatever the fuck he wants. I just don't enjoy listening to it.
It's fun.
That's fine. You guys can enjoy it. I just don't get it.
You don't partake in
such
things.
I don't smoke pot.
And I think that's a big part of it, honestly.
Maybe, but I mean, like, I don't know. I just didn't find it all that... Like, I mean, I was also listening to WTF and Comedy Bang Bang, or I guess Death Ray at the time. But, like, I don't know. It just didn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's honestly kind of what pushed me away from liking him. Was I was just like, okay, so his persona, it's not, like, intolerable. He seems like a good guy. He seems like someone I would...
His podcast probably isn't, like, the best way to become a fan. Just because...
No, I was already a fan. That's why I listened to him.
I don't know. It's just a lot of the same stories repeating, and then... Yeah. Especially at that time, I get what you're saying, where he's just sort of, like, getting into pot for the first time, so he's telling every guest, like, oh, we got this...
You tried pot before?
Legalized pot here in California. Have you tried this? Oh, yeah. You have? Since forever. Well, I'm 40 and this is great.
Like, which I mean
it was every podcast too.
I think that's kind of like a lot like kind of like this movie. It just seems like so like I can forgive this movie just not aging well. Like a lot of the jokes just don't age well.
It is very like, set in the 90s.
Yeah, which is fine. Like I mean I still watch Wayne's World. I still lose my mind over Wayne's World. I think it's hilarious. Which I know is a high bar set. Like, I mean, that's kind of like one of the 90s comics.
Yeah, I wouldn't compare it to Wayne's World, but like, we could make cases for like it falling somewhere on the spectrum for Wayne's World 2.
This one?
Yeah, I'm not saying they're equal, but
I mean,
there's comparisons.
Yeah, there's a goofiness to it. Yeah, it's got a cartoony aspect to it. I mean, it's in the same like wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I just like, I don't know. Like, I feel like his sense of humor hasn't progressed all that much. And I think that's really what it is. It's like, I just don't find these jokes funny. It's not that I find them offensive or like anything like that. It's just like, they're just not like, it doesn't take the extra step that it needs to be a funny joke. You know what I mean? Like I think like the example I'm thinking of right now is like when Ethan Suple, is looking at the very end when he's freaking out cause he can't see the ship. And he knocks over the board and stuff. Like, it's a small joke. It probably wouldn't be all that funny still, but it's like him just making the big dramatic pull of like, why, just screaming to the sky or something like that. Just like one extra step. There just needs to be like something more. It's just like set up, waiting for the punchline. And it never really, 90% of the time it didn't hit.
Yeah, I think that's normal with anything with Kevin Smith. He's like trying to write where the characters are just funny, like conversationally mm-hmm. funny, but they don't have like actual punchlines.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen like Evening with Kevin Smith?
No.
Okay, so those are all just him like doing like Q&As and talks and mm-hmm. long form stories. And you can tell with even that, like, it seems like it's almost stand up, but he's not adding punchlines. He's just telling like long funny stories without that punchline at the end.
Yeah. He just recorded like a stand up special not too long ago.
Did
like
he?
His first
was it
like
a
like
real one, or
years.
Was it just like a Q&A that they called?
It's actually
stand-up.
Like a real one. Oh, okay, like in his first one in like 15 years. But
he did stand up. He's done stand up before this, really.
Mm-hmm. I used to love.
I'd be interested to
Kevin
hear
Smith
that
stuff.
I honestly, I'd be interested to hear just to see how he structure a joke. Like, because
I mean,
like,
he's a storyteller. That's what he is.
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, like, it's. I mean, I'd like, yeah. I prefer storyteller comics. I want to hear how he would do that. It's interesting. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's a very clever writer, and
oh, for
you can
sure.
listen to him talk. He can talk all day. Like, you watch him on any interview. Like, when he went on Colbert, it was hilarious. Like, anytime Colbert would ask him a question, like, typical Kevin, he does it on his podcast all the time to his hosts, and he knows it. They know it. But he just keeps going on. Like, he sets it up to get you in this mindset of what he was feeling at that exact moment in mm-hmm. his life. So he puts in all these details, and like, he is so long-winded, but he has such a clever mind, and like really gets you to feel emotions.
Well, his personality and shines through his writing. Like, even in movies that, like, even like Jersey Girl, which is a movie like I don't think many people like. I mean, like, I can't, like, I don't know anybody in this room who'd say they like Jersey Girl. I thought I kind of liked it.
I haven't seen it in forever. I remember liking that, like, George Carlin's the dad. And
yeah, I mean,
there's a lot
like,
of good things.
There's like an interesting thing.
But
there,
I'm also like not someone who watches
that movie,
rom-coms anyways.
Yeah.
So like, I can't say if it's like good or bad because
yeah.
they all kind of feel the same, especially in that period.
Mm-hmm.
That one like ran into a lot of trouble in production, I think, is kind of one of the
well,
reasons
that was his,
it gained.
Well, that was,
like, it got a lot of bad press.
Yeah, sorry. Like, it was his attempt at doing a studio rom-com.
Yeah.
Like, in the same way Cop Out was his, just, like, you know, he just lost control in the studio.
Well, like, right before...
Well, there was, like, Ben Affleck stuff going on then, too, right? That's, like, when he was, like, a tabloid star.
Yeah, was, like, he was, like, trying
was
to
Jennifer,
go
Jennifer Gardner, right?
Yeah.
Because she was also in that movie, I believe. Am I wrong? I don't
know. It was J-Lo.
Was it J-Lo?
Yeah.
Okay.
This movie came out right after...
I thought it was Geely. Isn't there a different... Geely was J-Lo and Ben. I thought Jennifer Gardner and Ben Affleck were in Garden State.
Either way, it's some version of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess they're interchangeable at this point, but, like, oh, that's not a bad, but, you know. but, like, even, like, the writing in even Jersey Girl, like, shines through, even when he's trying to make a studio, like, middle-of-the-road rom-com movie.
Yeah, he,
like,
writes in a very specific way.
He just has ways that he just can't help himself.
Yeah, it's like when you see, like, Aaron Sorkin movies or
exactly
Tarantino. Like, they're just going to write dialogue that same way no matter what.
Well, that's why I've always kind of equated him as, like, the comedic Tarantino. Because, I mean, I guess it helps that they came out around the same time. But, like,
I like that comedic Tarantino.
Well, I mean, like, the comedy version of Tarantino. Yeah. Obviously, Tarantino's comedic as well, but, like he does that kind of, like, just guys talking, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's advancing the story enough, but it's, like, I mean, like...
I see it.
Like
and they were both, like, Miramax guys back then,
well,
too. So, like,
yeah.
They... A lot of those movies that came from that studio had that dialogue.
Which is weird. This one is not Miramax.
Thing. Right, yeah. This is Universal.
Yeah.
Miramax picked up... I think they picked up Chasing Amy and then, like, things from that on.
I thought they did... Miramax definitely
wrong.
Did Clerks. They released Clerks because I think Clerks
maybe
was self-financed.
Yeah, and then a studio bought it after it was done.
I just looked it up, by the way. It was J-Lo, but she died, and then it was Liv Tyler.
Right. Oh, it was Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Actually,
because that was Armageddon.
I actually have never seen Jersey Girl.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not good.
I remember like two or three good scenes and nothing else about the movie, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's a bad thing. I remember liking George Carlin in it. I think maybe just because I was infatuated with George Carlin.
That's really all it is. Because now that I'm thinking about George Carlin's scenes, like there's a scene of him with like grease in a pan.
Yeah, because he's a garbage truck driver.
Yeah, he's trying to like get rid of the grease, and George Carlin's like, "Oh, that's the good stuff. You got to leave the goop in." And then Ben Affleck's like, "That goop is called grease, Dad." And it's a terrible scene, but like George Carlin's in it, so I love that scene.
He's very good at doing that kind of like, well, being George Carlin. Like, yeah. I mean, it's like. But like, I feel like it's a different side of George Carlin you didn't see.
Yeah, like a heartwarming, nice guy.
Yeah, that wasn't.
You haven't seen, like, usually you're used to him with full of bitterness and rage and hating something.
Or on Shiny Time Station.
Yeah.
God, that was my first. Oh, God. Thomas the Tank Engine was cool as shit.
Yeah.
90s Tank Engine.
Oh, yeah. I was real big into that. Favorite band. Had all them trains.
Yeah, dude.
So one thing we haven't talked about for Mallrats itself is how it really revolutionized a lot of things in film, especially like...
How so?
Okay.
Okay. So follow me on this. This is a bold statement.
There's a lot of firsts in there that are like common for especially Marvel movies today. So invented the Stan Lee cameo. Okay. Ended the movie with a tease for the team-up movie that'll happen 6 years later. Because Jay and Silent Bob are walking with Suzanne, right, an unintroduced character until that moment. That comes back when they tie all the characters together and created the cinematic universe.
That's not true.
It created the modern version of the cinematic universe.
I mean, if nothing else, well...
It ties in events and characters from other movies, different franchises, mm-hmm. and eventually they all meet in a big super movie later.
Different franchises, though? If they're in the same universe, it's the same franchise.
I don't know. I would say, like, Captain America and Iron Man are separate franchises.
I mean, they're branches off of a franchise.
Yeah, but I just
the
mean
Marvel
like,
franchise.
It's like a universe where it's like not movie one, movie two, movie three. Like Planet of the Apes is like sequential movies. Yeah. These are like separate movies that tie together.
Yeah, especially if he ended up making Mallrats 2. Like it would have been Clerks 1,
Clerks
2,
he was really pushing that for a minute too. Like no one goes to the fucking mall anymore. Like I don't even know how you make that movie.
Yeah. Shannon Doherty was going to come back and do it.
Well, what
he
the
got
fuck
almost
is
everybody
doing?
To agree.
Like,
yeah, well, except Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like yeah. I was going to say, like, who, like, literally everybody but Ben Affleck has nothing to do.
But he gets arrested at the end of the movie, so you can explain why he's not there.
Yeah, he's not essential to the plot in this movie.
Like, well, he went to, they said at the end of the movie, he went to prison, found some cellmates, and maybe,
sick
that,
rape
maybe
joke.
That changes him. Maybe that changes him. He comes out. The other side, and they didn't even play the date rape song by Sublime. They played Smoke Two Joints. So
real missed opportunity.
Yeah.
I can't believe you thought that was a 90s thing, the credits where it's like, and this guy did this thing, and then this guy did this thing.
Yeah, because I just
have
remember
you not
every
seen
90s
House?
Comedy did that too.
Have you seen Animal House? I'm not like
it's I have, but all I remember is just hearing Louie Louie every 3 minutes.
Yeah, I mean it's not the greatest movie in the world.
Yeah.
It's kind of bad, honestly. But
like, I didn't think that was Animal House's thing, that end credits. I just thought that was, like, your typical 80s, 90s comedy ending. Like, Happy Gilmore does it. I think most Happy Madison movies do
it. I'm sure there's probably... Like, you could look it up and find one movie that's done it before that, but it's credited to, you know, Animal House.
Okay.
Yeah. Stupid and Futile Jester is a good movie.
Yeah, that's
really
a good
movie.
Fun. I liked it.
Will Forte, my man.
Yeah, and Martin
Mull.
We're
best friends.
Martin Mull was great in that.
You need more Martin Mull.
I didn't know his name for the longest time, so...
Really?
I kind of forgot the story of the actual or National Lampoon guy, so when I saw Martin Mull in the trailer, I was like, oh, that's
Yeah,
who
I
he
thought
is.
It was the same guy.
I was like, oh, like, that's who?
Like, oh, Martin Mull's a stage name or something? I didn't know that.
The guy from, what is it, like, Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Paul Feig.
He invented National Lampoon, and then the movie happened, and I was like, oh, yeah, that is.
I did. I had to look it up. I'm like, oh, he's dead?
I like
oh,
read
he's been
the book
dead?
And saw a documentary on him and still forgot how like that guy's life went.
That's how, that, isn't that kind of sad though that like Doug Kenny is this huge fucking name like
and every
started
time I hear
this
it,
fucking empire and ties to everything that we know today.
Yeah.
And we still don't fucking know that he...
I never heard of Lord of the Rings until I saw that movie.
Yeah.
I heard it, and that's like his second credited thing under National Lampoon. Like, I guess he didn't really do much. Like, co-wrote Caddyshack. I don't like Caddyshack, so I mean, like...
It was funny, the night I was going to watch that movie with Claire, side note, she had been wanting to watch Lord of the Rings, and I have seen it too recently, and I'm kind of just like, not, you know, when you're just, I can't do it right now. It's too much.
It's a lot to like invest. Much.
I just watched all three extended versions in one day. It was very hard.
That's so sad.
It was so hard.
You, George,
it's 13 and a half hours.
I'm very
Did you
sorry.
Do the Hobbits right after?
No, I kept saying to my friend who was watching with me, I'm like, man, these are really good movies. I wish there were three more inferior movies.
Yeah.
Good joke, right?
Yeah. Great joke. Can you tell it again?
I wish there were three more inferior movies. Yeah,
there were three more better jokes than that.
Oh.
I thought we were going to go a round table of saying my joke.
Oh. Wish there were three more movies worse than that.
I wish there were three more movies about short people singing songs and fighting dragons, but it wasn't as good as the first three about short people singing songs and fighting dragons.
Is that, you're talking about the Snow White and the...
There's no songs.
Seven Dwarfs.
There's
universe.
No one singing a song. Oh, no, that's not true. Pippin sings a song in Return of the King. God damn it. Okay, never mind.
We can edit that out.
Yes. Do not embarrass me, George. Yeah, George, don't edit this out right now. Okay, George. Thank you. We got way off the rails.
Yeah, so anyways, Kevin Smith invented the cinematic universe as we modernly know it.
There's argument to be made there.
Yeah, I think so. Because the movie opens with the girl, the news of the girl who died in the pool, which is the funeral that.
So this movie takes place around the same time as Clerks.
It takes place like a week before Clerks.
Okay, I can see that.
And then Brody and I think maybe Ben. No, Brody comes back and Jay and Silent Bob.
Does the National
Ben
Lampoon
Affleck comes back in Jane
Silent
Bob?
What
National Lampoon universe?
Are they interconnected?
I felt like they were somehow.
Well, National
Am
Lampoon.
Am I making that up?
Probably.
Yeah, I don't think that there was anything that ties.
Is there a National
together.
Lampoon universe?
I thought Ryan Reynolds was the kid. In
what?
But even
what
if
are you
is,
talking
that
about?
Would have been way
I'm
later.
That. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds. What are you talking about?
He's in a National Lampoon movie. He's
Which
in
one?
Van Wilder.
Oh, Van Wilder.
Yeah.
What does Van Wilder have to do with anything?
I was trying to connect the movie universes. God damn it, George.
Well, wait. Does Van
Iron
Wilder
Man
take place in the same college as Animal House?
Because
that would be a good way to tie it together.
But what
I
if,
think it does.
But
yeah.
What
I don't
if
think
Vin
it
Diesel
is.
Were in one of these movies?
Then it would be shit until The Rock showed up.
You're wrong. You're 100% wrong. There just wouldn't be family until The Rock showed up.
That's true. Those movies are so about family. Family and cars.
Why doesn't Kevin Smith get The Rock for
Tusk? I swear to God. Okay, so I know, I'll let you guys talk after this. I know I kind of like just...
Thank you.
Thanks, George.
I've been told I'm a
Thanks,
bad
boss.
Listener.
How did you know they said that?
They sent it to me in a text message. As much as I bag on Kevin Smith, like... Do you watch The Flash at all?
No, I don't watch The Flash.
He's done one episode of that and one episode of Supergirl.
I thought he did two Flash.
He did one episode.
Two Supergirl.
No, he definitely did one Supergirl. I don't know. He might have done a second Flash.
Pretty sure. Yeah, he did a second. Because
the Supergirl episode had his daughter in it and is not very good. But the Flash episode might be, or at least the first Flash episode, it might be the best episode they've ever done. And I sat there, what is it, Lost Dinosaur or something like that?
Something about dinosaur.
But I was like, God damn it, I gotta fucking watch this Flash episode directed by Kevin Smith. It's probably gonna be a bunch of fart jokes, and they're funny, and whatever. It's one of the most, like... weighty and heart-wrenching episodes of the show that they've ever done, probably that I've seen of anything that the whole DC universe has done. Like, I mean, it's incredible, and I mean for that I give him props, you know, alone.
I think that's where his strengths are, and like I said, makes you feel feelings, and I feel like a lot of times he hasn't fully embraced that. Like, he captured it in Clerks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was really honest about his own life and like saying like, I can't be this guy working at a cash register my entire life. I'm going to do something about it. And like, since, I feel like since then he hasn't fully gotten all the way there and been honest with a lot of
things. I think
things
he hides
his
behind
his
jokes too much.
Yeah. Like,
I think it's the honesty is there, but it hides so quickly.
Yeah.
That it's, I think that's really what frustrates me the most.
And he's honest and heartfelt in his podcasts, which is why I love listening to him. But I don't know. What do you think?
I think he's just better when he's not trying to follow like a formula, when he has like freedom to just write whatever he wants, mm-hmm. which I really liked Red State. I thought Red State was great.
I like Red State. Yeah.
Red State was cool.
Really, I think I stopped after Clerks too.
I liked Tusk. Like, I read the script
first,
and I liked the script. I think as a movie, it looks kind of boring. Just because it's
I've seen still shots. I'm like, I'm not watching this movie.
The ending is really cool once they finally get into all the creepy stuff. But like for the longest time, it's just dialogue.
Well,
so
just like my love for body horror just can't even bring myself to watch it. But
I think he's still like his writing is good in that because he just created a weird story and was like, I'm not gonna follow your. It's still like a regular horror movie structure in a lot of ways, but it felt different. Like he wasn't trying to hit certain beats. He was like, we'll draw out this scene way longer than normally we would.
Yeah,
and he just kind of had the freedom to write in a weird style.
I like.
Did you see Yoga Hosers?
I enjoyed Yoga Hosers.
I did not.
You enjoyed
like it.
I wouldn't say.
I didn't see it. I just saw the trailer. I'm like, no, thank you.
It is not for us. That movie is for.
Who's it for?
15-year-old girls.
What? Okay, I didn't see the movie. I'll walk away from this conversation.
It's totally.
This will be the Mallrats for some 15-year-old girl in the future.
That's
didn't
what,
he
that's
say
what
that?
He, yeah.
He oh, is it?
He intended.
He literally
yeah, he
said
intended that. and no, it really is. And there's a lot of stuff that I didn't relate to and didn't get.
I like Johnny Depp's Quebecese detective character.
Yeah,
it's just the perfect.
It's the same character from Tusk, right?
Right. Yeah, but he has like a much bigger part.
Hmm. And I don't know, being a Hollywood Babylon fan, Ralph Garman being in there, doing his German impression, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know. I watched it just for that. Like, that whole scene with Ralph Garman was my favorite, like, in the third act.
I couldn't. Like, I saw the trailer. I'm like, what? Like, it just seemed like a movie of half-baked ideas.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, when I watched it, I was like, this is fun and campy, but I'll never watch it again.
Yeah,
I probably won't.
But I've seen Tusk a couple times and Red State I've rewatched like a million times. I love that movie.
I mean, I love John Goodman. I mean, that's really, I think, the only thing that's
Michael Parks,
me to
dude.
Michael Parks
it.
Is great in that.
Michael Parks in that movie, fucking
Michael Parks,
brilliant.
Put the name to a face.
He is an underappreciated actor.
He's in From Dusk Till Dawn, right? He's the sheriff.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay.
R.I.P.
Yeah, I'm into him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, did he die?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was looking kind of old.
Yeah.
Bummer.
He was sick.
He was real good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad he got to do some starring roles in those Kevin Smith movies for a bit just because they got to use him as an actor.
Yeah, like he, I don't know, that it makes me actually cry when I listen to Kevin talk about it. Like, the place Michael Parks was in his career and the place Kevin was in, and they came together and kind of like made this like brilliant piece of art that I think doesn't get enough love. But it brought
State?
Michael Parks a lot of happiness at the end of his life. I know that.
I'm talking about Red State.
Yeah. Red State.
I mean, I like people like it's kind of the, in the same way when I talk shit about Clint Eastwood, they're like, have you seen Gran Torino? It's like, it seems like Red State's the Gran Torino of Kevin Smith. And it's like, yeah, it's a little bit out. It's a little bit,
it almost doesn't
different.
Count.
Yeah. And it kind of does in the same way it doesn't count. It's like, it's so different that it doesn't count also as a positive. Like, even if it is good, it's like, yeah, but he didn't continue down that road. So
yeah,
it doesn't
it's
really
just
matter.
Like a one off that's so different. You can't like judge anything else that he's done based
maybe
on
he
that.
Will again. His career's not
maybe.
Done.
I mean, I'm not like, I applaud the man for just doing whatever the fuck he wants. I wish I could do that.
He's
like,
supposedly doing Buckaroo Banzai right now.
I don't want
to
see that.
There's so many projects that he's been attached to that I just don't get my hopes up until it
Clerks
gets released.
Clerks 3, Mallrats 2.
Mallrats
2. I don't want to see any more fucking sequels. Like, if you're going to do it, just like, if you can do whatever you want, why do you want to keep digging up the past? Like, that's what I don't get.
I would like to see him get the Flash movie Just give him a chance. It's,
if
it's
Phil Lord and Chris Miller are on the table, it's always going to be Phil Lord.
I wish they would just burn that series to the ground. Like, I'm
the
so
show?
Over it. No, no. Like, just DC movies.
Yeah, that's
oh,
why.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no, fuck them.
Give like, Kevin a shot. Yeah. It's like a burning ship anyway.
The best you can say is Justice League was okay. It's like,
you
what,
can't
like,
say that.
Really? It was fine.
No.
It was like, compared to Batman vs. Superman?
That's not a good comparison.
I know.
Compare it to a real
compared
movie.
To even Wonder Woman, it was fine. Like, Wonder Woman, like, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman's okay. The best in that.
It is, but it's still not a very good movie.
I think I would have been really impressed by Wonder Woman if it came out in 2002.
Exactly. Like,
but there's
like,
been so many other superhero movies that have done the same thing.
There are some moments
like
in that movie
things.
That are amazing. Like, yeah. The No Man's Land scene is great. It's a really great scene. There, I mean, there's like she Gal Gadot is amazing, but like the movie itself is just like, yeah, I've seen Captain America before.
Yeah, exactly. It's
like
the
I don't,
same
I don't.
Movie.
Like and
with
Chris,
some 300 thrown in.
Chris Pine's good. Like I mean, like their dynamic is great. I love that he's not like he's not a whimpering coward, but he's just like, yeah, no, I'm just gonna follow this chick because she's fucking great. Like, I love Wonder Woman. I wish that they knew how to make a good movie. Like, <it's,
laughs> yeah, and I thought it was fine. Like, it's a good superhero movie, but when there's so many other good superhero movies, it didn't stand out.
Yeah. It stands out because it's just such a fuck. Like, DC just can't make a good movie that when it makes an okay one, it's like, oh, look at this amazing movie.
Yeah.
So, here's hoping James Wan's Aquaman is okay.
I almost don't want it to be because I don't want them to continue with.
I don't either,
this, like,
but
saga.
Also,
yeah.
I want to see.
I want it to
I
just start
see
over.
A horror movie, yeah. Superhero movie.
I don't know.
Because that's what he's doing.
I was pretty unimpressed with Aquaman in Justice League.
Yeah, he's too bro-y.
So
he's too
made
mean.
Me worry about his actual movie.
I felt so bad for the Flash. He kept getting bullied.
Flash
was like,
Cyborg
he's just a boy.
The best parts of that
Flash
movie.
Would have been like a really
oh,
great
sure.
character if Spider-Man didn't come out right before.
Yeah.
Because they had that same vibe where they're just like, oh, gee, we're hanging out with the cool superheroes
but, I mean,
now.
Like,
which is fine, but like Spider-Man came out months before and like did that character really well. So
yeah. Ezra Miller
Flash
just
is
so
good,
like fun to watch.
I like him
movie.
A lot as Flash.
I thought I wasn't going to like him, but I liked him.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I know we've already gone through our Justice League episodes and stuff, but like, I liked Ben Affleck as Batman in the Justice League. I didn't like him in Batman vs. Superman. I thought he was fine.
He was better in Justice League.
He was fun. He was fun to watch.
I really like him as Batman. I'm bummed we're not going to see his Batman movie.
It's never going to happen.
It's never
going to
happen.
Especially since Matt Reeves was supposed to do it. And I'm like, God, he's so good. I love those Planet of the Apes movies that he did. But like,
Matt Reeves makes me excited too, but I was just so excited about Ben Affleck doing Batman because he does noir really well as a director. Mm-hmm. And seeing him tackle Batman with his version of Batman that I already like would have been real cool.
Yeah, I'd love to see some like espionage with Batman. Yeah. Like some real like behind the scenes kind of shit as opposed to just like, who is he? It's like, fucking... Like, come on. Like,
I want
you don't need to punch
Gotham
everybody.
Where everyone has a Boston accent. That's what I want to say.
Who is he? Boston Yard. Park
a lot of
Commons.
Things going on at the Hava.
I don't like that you have a better Boston accent than me.
I can only say Hava.
Hava.
Can't do any of the other words.
Ka. Ka. Get in your
car. Ka. Ka.
Yeah. Boston.
Park the car.
Boston.
Left your cockies and your khakis.
What do you think of Ben Affleck's suit in this movie? It's very big.
Oh, in Mallrats?
Yeah.
Are we going back to that?
I'm not good at transitions, but I can figure that one out.
All right, yeah, it was very baggy. I was going to comment on it, but I already had commented on 90s fashion like 3 times during us watching the movie, and I didn't want to get called out on it again.
The fashion is totally 90s.
Yeah.
His suit, it makes sense for like a 90s jersey guy, though.
Yeah, no,
it was like
fine.
A jersey
like,
thing because he works at Fashionable Male, and I was like, that's not a very fashionable suit.
But I mean,
the 90s
fashion was like suits were like big. They were saggy. They were just shoulders. Like it was like people just didn't care about shapes whatsoever. They're just like, square sexy, right?
Everybody just thrift shopped for everything.
Well, people in suits weren't looking to be sexy. There's no 50 Shades of Grey or
if you didn't look like
an
upside down square on top of an upright skinny rectangle, then you weren't. Fashionable.
That's true.
Hot take.
Fashion.
I know shapes.
Turn to the left.
Triangles.
Turn to the left.
Rectangles.
You fucked it up. Sorry, Mr. Bowie.
So I think we need to talk about the fact that there is a 15-year-old character.
Oh, I completely forgot about her. Yeah, no, it
does not hold up. It's really strange to watch now.
What is the point of it? It adds nothing to the movie.
To get Ben Affleck arrested.
But... why? Why couldn't Shannon Doherty just make the choice to be like, I choose this guy, as opposed to just arresting Ben Affleck?
Because fuck pedophiles. That's why.
Well, yeah.
Are you defending why? Pedophiles?
A little bit.
Well, I think we should explain
some
the
things you just
first,
don't say in public, George.
Not a lot of people have seen the movie.
I didn't really pay attention to the movie enough. Devin, can you explain it? Or Logan, can either of you explain? Right. Please explain pedophilia to me, then explain Ben Affleck.
Well, right. When a man loves a woman, it's normal. But when a man loves a young girl, it's still
cis.
Normal.
Thank you very much.
We don't judge on this podcast.
No, we're a very inclusive.
Let's give pedophiles
podcast.
A second shot.
The Roy Moore cut of Mallrats is very different. That's all I'm saying.
So anyways, there is a 15-year-old character in this Harvey Weinstein-produced Miramax film. Or no, this is Universal.
Nope.
So this is what drew...
You already blew it.
This is what drew Harvey to Kevin Smith. And it's like, we have a lot of the same ideas.
I like your ideas. You got boobs in your movies. Let's do this. Do you have any potted plants?
So the two main characters, who are probably like 25 or 26, are walking around the mall, and they visit a character who is 15 years old and a senior in high school because of some big project she's been working on for a major book that she's going to publish. And the project
sure.
that they explain,
a total normal thing to have in a movie.
She's
that
doing
is
research
a,
into the
an F plot.
She's doing research into male sexual habits in the 90s by having sex with men between the ages of like 16 and 30. And keeping video recordings.
She has all
of
their
sessions.
Consent, except for at the end of the movie when Ben Affleck says she said she was 35.
Yeah.
Which is like, either he's lying, which maybe, or she was lying, and probably.
What if it's, everyone what if in it's the a Drew Barrymore situation?
Well, she's 12 and she's just getting molested
no,
at clubs?
No, she's just doing, she's an undercover high school student. Just trying to get her kiss on.
You've only never been kissed. I went real life.
Trying to get a kiss on.
Yeah, you got real dark. I just love how everyone is like really okay with her pursuit of just like filming
That's
sex
weird.
With random men
and then
recording
her
it for
judging
a book.
These people.
In the end, they say the book stayed on the New York Times bestseller list for 72 weeks. A book about a 15-year-old banging different dudes.
Hey, she's a genius in my book. That's all I'm saying.
You don't have a book, Devin. Write a book first.
All right. I'll get on that. Next week, I'll have it for
get
you.
Get down on it.
Get down on it.
Get down on it.
Get down on it. You really don't want to dance by standing on the wall. Get your back up off the wall.
High-quality content of the Sex Shop Podcast, Thursdays on the Buffalo right. Network.
For all the listeners, if I've sounded weird tonight, it's because I'm very impaired. I have to leave a disclaimer.
You have some alcohol?
Yes.
Alcohol?
Yes. I do blame it on that, and I blame it on something else.
What's that?
Can't talk about it.
Autism? Sorry.
Yes.
Blame it on the autism.
That's why that song is
We're
so
inclusive
good.
Here on the Sick Chat Podcast.
We are.
I had many an autistic person on this show.
Hey.
I thought that was like what you needed to get onto the show.
I mean, I'm on it every week.
Yeah. Like we haven't made eye contact this entire time, so I feel like
never
we
made
all
eye contact with you ever. So no. Yes. Now I can't. I'm trying to, and I can't.
This is
now everyone's just blushing and trying to look at each other in the eyes.
God damn it! Why did we have to bring up Harvey Weinstein? It's all his fault.
Oh, Harvey.
I like Quentin Tarantino. I like his movies.
What did he do again?
Nothing.
You know, the Four
he
Rooms.
He didn't do anything wrong.
He wrote Natural Born Killers.
No,
he also
like,
wrote...
After that.
He wrote True Romance.
After that. What did he do? I heard he did something recently, but I can't remember.
Hateful Eight.
It's getting warmer.
Warmer? Oh, the Charles Manson movie?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
With Roman Polanski in it. It's just weird. It's like Tom Cruise is going to be playing Roman Polanski. It's weird.
Oh, is that announced? That he, that's
and he's
character.
Doing. He's writing that Star Trek movie. That's the role he's supposed to go for.
Okay.
One of the two. It's Tom Cruise and Matt Brad Pitt, maybe, I think.
Yeah, I know Brad Pitt's up for something. Like in the
movie. I think it's interchangeable who's going to play Marilyn Manson.
Charles Leo's going to be in it.
Or Leo. Yeah, it's Leo, not Brad Pitt.
What
if
Marilyn Manson played Charles Manson?
Oh, I've watched the fuck out of that movie.
That would be great.
I haven't seen...
What if it was Shirley Manson?
Make me a Martyr, but I've heard it's very good. Or Make Me Your Martyr or whatever. Shirley Manson, she's dead. No, she's not dead. I'm thinking of the Cranberries girl.
Yeah.
We got to stop this podcast before I say something bad.
Wait, did the Cranberries girl die or the Zombies girl?
Cranberries. She sang the song Zombie.
Well, there is the band The Zombies, though, I thought. It
was there is a band called The Zombies.
Okay.
But,
I got really
confused. If she's dead, I mean, she's probably been long dead.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
And Cranberries is she's the one who just recently died.
Okay.
What's her name? I can't remember. She's Irish.
Oh,
Sinead O'Connor?
Shame. No, that's a different Irish person.
Bono? Is it Bono?
It was Bono. Okay.
Oh. R.I.P. Bono.
R.I.P. Bono.
When are we getting those fucking shirts?
What shirts?
No? Okay.
I don't know.
You talking you two to me? No.
Oh, I don't listen.
You should. It's great.
I should.
Second Shot recommends.
Plugs.
Another Scott Aukerman show.
Plug.
Okay,
well,
this is this is the worst episode in the world.
it's pretty good.
Let's give a second shot to this episode. But I guess, like, unless you guys have something else to say, I just didn't like this movie. Like, I mean, I just thought it was boring. Like, if you guys wanted to talk about something else, I'll let you guys go.
I definitely liked Kevin Smith when I was in junior high and early high school. Like, I loved Kevin Smith, but that was also the same time where I loved Blink-182. So rewatching this movie now, I'm like, I get why I loved this, and it does not affect me the same way now.
Yeah. I feel like it's like watching American Pie now.
Yeah. It's tough. There's like a couple things that are real cringy and you're like, that seems kind of rapey.
Like the beginning of sex the rebirth of sex comedies.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But you watch it when you're a kid and you don't think about those other things. It's like adult jokes in like Despicable Me. I feel like when you watch it, you don't get it. It's more depraved than what you currently exist in. But like, when you learn about it, it still doesn't take away the nostalgia. I don't know.
I mean, I could see that. I mean, like, there's a lot. I mean, like, I'll go back and watch Austin Powers now. Even if I don't find it funny, I'll still love it. Like, just because of what it means to me. Like,
right.
So, I mean, I get that part of it. So I can't begrudge anyone of that, but I don't know. It's not my bag, baby.
I wasn't sure if you were going to end on that because
I was trying to do an Austin Powers impression.
It was not good.
Reference.
There was no effort put into that.
He literally has never said it's not my bag.
Grr, baby.
I'm kind of whispering it like it's not my bag.
Well, let's get into final opinions. Obviously, Logan, I'll let you state your piece on this. I mean, you kind of already did, but.
I definitely still stand by Kevin Smith. I like any type of writer who has that distinct voice. Like we mentioned, like Aaron Sorkin, every time he writes dialogue, it's all the same. And I like seeing that. I know that's something that like people hate about those two as writers is everything feels the same. But I like that he creates a world where people talk in this weird way. And I like that he's got all these movies that are tied together in a universe sort of way. But definitely a 90s movie. And for middle schoolers.
He definitely has a flannel wrapped around his waist.
The entire time. And he like plays with it. Like it's like a cowboy belt type deal. He's always shifting it.
Oh, I wish you were a cowboy. I wish you were playing this character like a cowboy.
He's honestly the worst actor I've ever seen. Jeremy
He's
London.
Pretty bad.
Jeremy London then is Brendan Fraser now.
Yeah. They look similar. It's
you guys
weird.
Seen Monkey Bone? That movie's pretty good.
I do like Monkey Bone.
Chris Kattan, baby.
Although one thing that ties them
director
together,
of Nightmare Before Christmas,
I was looking on IMDb at Jeremy London's filmography to see if he did anything big after this. And in 1999, he did a TV version of Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Ooh,
which makes
Brendan Fraser ties.
He is Brendan Fraser,
and
he's knockoff Brendan Fraser.
Rock tie. This Journey to the Center of the Earth had a sequel called Journey. I think it was just called Journey 2.
Yeah.
And it had The Rock and Josh Duhamel. So it also has a Hunger Games tie.
Yep. The Rock is the only thing that saves sequels.
Ooh, we're just going to play some 7 Degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah. You got
to. You can do Adam Scott to Kevin Bacon right now.
Adam Scott to Kevin Bacon.
I can do it right now.
Adam Scott likes bacon, Kevin Bacon.
You did it.
Yes.
You did it. I'm going to do the real one, though. Adam Scott in Torque.
Go.
Torque directed by the guy who directed Torque, who directed the movie Detention, starring Josh Duhamel. Oh, Josh Duhamel to The Rock.
Oh, shit.
The Rock to pretty much anyone in Hollywood.
You can't. That's not legal. That's not legal.
Actually, now I'm forgetting the Kevin Bacon connection here.
I was going to go to X-Men 7 First
Degrees
Class.
Of The Rock, I guess.
Somebody in X-Men First Class has got to be affiliated with The Rock.
I'm sounding like an idiot now. I'm sounding like a fool.
Has there ever been a Michael Fassbender Rock movie?
That's the main one I was thinking of. But
that needs to happen.
Well, it absolutely does. Yeah.
Another Covenant
and Tom Hardy.
Movie.
Yeah.
And Tom Hardy. You need Tom Hardy. Also, do you guys see that Venom trailer?
Like Doom. Yes.
What a piece of shit is that?
That was a lot of Tom Hardy's face.
I mean, it's a teaser.
You guys ready for... It's not a teaser. It's 2 minutes long.
No, they said it's a teaser trailer.
It's a 2 minute long teaser trailer. You guys ready for the new fucking Ghost Rider? directed from the director of Zombieland.
Zombieland.
This is not me deflecting the fact that I can't remember the...
The land of the zombie.
And Gangster Squad.
Shoot him in the head. In the head.
Zombie. All right. Let's just end this. Devin, get your paint. Is a hit or a miss for
you? This movie is still a hit for me. I definitely see where it kind of has some shortcomings, but it's still special to me, and it's still like knowing. I feel. Like, listening to Kevin Smith, and you feel like you get to know him after you hear him talk for so long. Mm-hmm. So, knowing his personality, at least from what I know from his entertainment, I still like it. Because I know, like, the jokes that go too far in one way are against his own personal beliefs. So, I can forgive them. And I can see that, like, oh, you're just dumb. You probably should have did it a different way. But I know you don't feel this way about... this. I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah, like everybody, I go through my, well, back when I had Facebook, like seeing the On This Day and things are like, oh shit, I wrote that.
Oh yeah, I have some really embarrassing ones back in the day.
Just use them to delete it. I don't know.
What do you think?
I'm not going to grudge anyone the nostalgia of this movie. This movie specifically is, I've always, like, even when I was a kid, I was like, I don't know if this is very funny. Like, I like Jane Silent Bob more when I was a kid. Like, I guess if it was going to go the cartoony route, just went full out. Like, you watch Jane Silent Bob now, it's not a good movie. But like,
I differ.
Yeah.
Really?
You're kind of wrong.
Really?
I differ.
Just that cast alone is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's him just having a sandbox and just having fun with it, which I appreciate. But
it's
like,
the original Avengers, you're right.
Logan, you just know how to translate my words to being a person. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
By the way, along the lines of that theory, Kevin Smith also apparently received credit in an interview from Chris Hemsworth that listening to a Kevin Smith podcast is the reason why he suggested they get more funny in Thor Ragnarok.
Well, there you have it.
And that's why they went with Taika Waititi. And
pretty much anyone could have said they should have just got funnier because he is the funniest Avenger.
Anyone could have, but Kevin Smith was credited.
That's true. That's fair.
I mean, statistically, it was it would have been something Kevin Smith said because he speaks more than any other human.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
Kevin Smith has said everything.
He has said all the words multiple times.
Kevin Smith.
And recorded it.
Is us. We are Kevin Smith.
So we got 2/3 of a really good Thor movie.
You didn't like the new best Thor?
No, Ragnarok's still the best Thor movie. It's just not like anything
it's
on
what you wanted.
Anything on Asgard is not very great.
You've had so many wrong opinions this whole podcast.
I just want a Korg movie, I think is really what I came down to on that movie.
You didn't like the Loki play? The Loki acting family
scene?
Oh,
it's great. And anytime you have Sam Neill in the movie, I'm going to be into it. And Matt Damon for some reason.
Although, Matt Damon.
I really like surprise Matt Damon being a thing.
It was funny.
Now.
It was very funny.
I was like, what?
Interstellar and this, I'm just like, yeah, please surprise me with Matt Damon more.
It was like Matt Damon's middle finger is like, yeah, I'm not going to be in these fucking things. Like, I'm canonically this guy now.
Do you think Thor Ragnarok is in the Interstellar universe?
Ooh, well, probably, because there's so many different dimensions.
I hope Anne Hathaway shows up in the next Thor movie as Anne Hathaway from Interstellar.
I mean, the real question is, are we part of the Interstellar universe?
I think so. Everything is possible. Every universe you can think
of
is
possible. But is John Lithgow part of our universe? That's all I care about.
He's not. He's not a real person. John Lithgow has just been
But he's a national treasure, like Nicolas Cage.
He's not real, George.
This podcast is over. I can't deal with the fact that
I'm all for John Sithgow being in the new Star Wars trilogy as the villain.
Oh, he's Snoke, right?
No, it's the new trilogy. It has nothing to do with the Skywalker.
Oh, the new trilogy.
The solo
trilogy,
when this takes off.
When are they
They're not Skywalkers, technically.
When are they making the Lando trilogy?
That's the one I want to see.
Where's the Lando trilogy?
That trailer, it looks good. But man, I am.
It all looks good except
I'm
for
so
Solo.
Tired. I can't.
I'm having a hard time accepting anyone else as Han.
Yeah, he's good though. I like him a lot. But like, I looked at a page on Birth, Movies, Death for the trailer, and one of the first comment is just Donald Glover from Community eating a giant cookie. And he's just like, I feel sick and I don't know why. It's just the amount of Star Wars we have.
It is it's a giant cookie that never ends and keeps getting bigger.
End.
The more
it's never
you
gonna
eat.
End. I love it. I love feeling this sick. But let's end this episode. This movie I didn't like. It didn't make me want to watch more Kevin Smith. If you show me Clerks, I'd been like, yeah, let's do this. But no.
Should have chose Tusk.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know what? I would have appreciated the boldness of Tusk.
What about Cop Out?
I saw parts of Cop Out. I worked in the theater at the time.
He didn't write that, though.
Right.
He did not, no.
I don't know. I think Kevin Smith should come on to defend Tusk himself.
Kevin Smith, you have an open invitation.
I'm sure there's like 30 anytime. Hours of him doing that on his podcast, though.
And he kind of bashes it. He bashes it.
He bashes
podcast.
Tusk?
Yeah.
He bashes everything he's ever done.
If Kevin Smith, honestly, he's not going to ever listen to this. We'll tag him. We'll tag the fuck out of him on Twitter. But like, if he ever listens to this, he's more than welcome.
He's coming to Cleveland with Hollywood Babylon in April.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's hashtag available. The fuck out of him. Yeah. Like, let's see if we can get him on. Anyone listening, just tell him come on the Second Shot podcast. And I would laugh so hard if they didn't come on Hatefoil.
Oh shit! And he's gonna be here in April. Like, what if
420?
Sorry, Jeremy Shear, or he can come on too, and Jordan and Logan, and
be
we
a
can
weird
do
episode.
420 episode. We'll get all the mics we own collectively.
I have plenty of mics.
Join
it's
them together,
hooking them up.
We may even splurge and spend $60 on a few more mics.
Yeah, that might be worth it.
I might
for Kevin
spend
Smith.
An extra
we'll spend
$60 on a new, mixer.
Kevin, BYOE, bring your own equipment when you come
please
on.
We need your help. So Logan, thank you for coming on. I'm not happy for you showing me this movie, but
thank you for having me, and thank you for sitting through Mallrats,
and thank you for showing me that movie again, because I love it and I'll watch it as many times as you want. We'll all watch it together.
All right,
we'll get Jordan here.
We're gonna watch it every night this week, and you're gonna learn to love it, and in 5 days we'll have
be the
another
worst
podcast
idea of all time.
Yes,
and we'll see if your opinion's changed after you watch it 5 or 6 more times.
Worst idea of all time podcast.
You will be tied to a chair.
They're listening to We Are Your Friends right now, or they're watching We Are Your Friends right now
with your eyelids clipped open.
The Zac Efron EDM DJ movie. I don't know why I'm plugging a show that is way better and more famous than us. Logan, do you have anything to plug? I'm so bad at transitions. I'm sorry.
No, I've got no plugs. I've got a book coming out over the summer.
It was about your sexual escapades?
You just said you had no plugs, and then you said you had a book coming out over the summer.
Well, like, no, like, I'm current things coming up. Oh, okay. It's just a bunch of short stories, mostly things that started out as stand-up bits that just didn't work on stage, like they were too weird.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Yeah, so I didn't know that.
It's going to be called Emptying My Head.
Nice.
Probably about, like, 100 pages. I'm going to try and sell it for, like, $6 or $7 each copy.
Damn. Yeah, that's awesome,
just
man.
To, like, make back the cost of printing it, and that's it.
Yeah. It's like a zine. It's like a very long zine.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for. Like, the more you can kind of talk it down would be great.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is a book or whatever, but yeah, it's like a zine.
Yeah. I mean,
books
you
are
know,
like zines.
Zines are like 12 pages. This will be like hopefully around 100 with like real passion put into it over the past year. But like, no,
it's
cool.
I have a
it's like a pamphlet.
I have you. A high regard for zines. I have a Chumbawamba zine in my bedroom.
Oh man, that is like the most like talk about interstellar different dimensions. Like if somebody came to our universe and said, "I bet Chumbawamba zine in my room,"
I genuinely do. Alexis Pokrat, friend of the show, got me one. It's from the '80s. It's like back when they were still like a punk band.
Oh shit,
it's pretty cool.
Back in the
it's not interesting
life.
In any way to read, but it's pretty cool to have it.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet.
So like keep an eye out for Logan's zine. Is there anything else you want to talk about, or you
should call it Logazine?
Ooh,
ooh, that'll be like the spinoff series of zines that I do. Based
do you have
on
your berserker
zine.
Powers?
Yeah, schnickety schnickety stoink. Is that
snoochie boochie,
spoochie doochie?
Yes. A lot of great quotes in this movie, you guys.
Oh yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
we'll go with it. Devin, you got anything?
I don't really have anything outside of I think I'm going to be on a Deeper Dive podcast soon with my cousin Jake Taylor. Jordano Diablo was just on there as well, just an interview podcast. And I was just on Patrick Northern's new podcast.
Oh, really?
He started an interview podcast called The Low Road.
Nice.
Yeah, he was on our Tinder episode. So, yeah, check that out. He's funny.
He's very funny.
Good,
I like him.
It's a good show.
I like him. I like him a lot. Oh, no, I just made an accidental Adam Sandler reference. I hate myself. I don't have anything to plug. Just secondshotpod@gmail.com, Twitter, secondshotpod, Instagram, secondshotpod, all that good stuff. Give us a call. Our number's in the show notes and everything like that. If you want to call us, leave us a message. Talk about shit. You know, if you're Kevin Smith, give us a call. I will, if you know, text us and I'll give you my actual number and you can yell at me. But, I mean, other than that, I'm good. I got nothing. We will be back next week with something, talking to a person.
Wow, I want to hear that.
You're really good at selling things, I can tell.
I do what I can.
This is sort of like an audible zine.
It's like a death of a salesman.
Our pod zine. Zine
that
cast.
Is the highest compliment anyone's ever paid to this show, because most people just say, that show.
This show is like a Chumbawamba zine in audio format.
That is, you joke? I love Chumbawamba. Legit love Chumbawamba. Oh, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do our Secret Shames. Like shit that we like that most people don't.
Okay.
So yeah, Chumbawamba's mine. Just to get it out there, we'll end the show with this.
Are we doing all three of us?
Yeah, if Logan can think of something, another thing that you're just like, ugh. It doesn't have to be anything profound.
I adore Angels and Airwaves.
Oh Jesus!
I know.
Okay.
Like as like a Blink-182 fan,
I wish we
I
didn't
managed
do this.
To.
Do,
I managed to get really into them, and
we should have done that.
I understand all the problems with them, but they're like the better you two.
What?
Whoa,
oh my god! Oh, we got to end this episode. Devin, say your thing before
I'm just trying to
go
you.
Into a tirade.
My thing is the TV show Gotham. It's time to babble the fuck off. Good night.
Wow.
Rejoice, God, the years are still. rejoice. His eyes are big axes. Oh, rejoice. His arms are burning witches. Oh, rejoice. His hands perform axes. Rejoice despite the fact this world will hurt you.
My name is Devin. I like to rap. My name is Devin.
You like to crap. You like to pap. Smear.
Stop talking over me. I'm trying to test the microphone.